Yo, what's happening, guys? Thanks again for jumping on the Going In Raw podcast. This one is a little bit different today. It has literally been recorded from a live video session that I did, which was broadcasted on Facebook and Instagram Live. It's a Q&A session. I basically put the word out, any questions that want to be answered, send them over to me and I'll answer it live on Facebook and on Instagram Live. It was a great, great session. I had a number of people coming on and answering stuff. I answered some questions. We go through things such as how to get into a competitive industry, how to get above everyone else in a competitive industry, how do the recruitment people mug people off all the time. I go through that. Few secrets I divulge, great advice to people who are looking to change careers and don't have the financial backing and don't have the motivation to do it. So much info, so much stuff to take home with. I hope you enjoy it. Take care.
Are you looking to up your recruitment and logistics game? Well, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Going In Raw podcast with your host, Ryan Walker.
But so it's like a Q&A session for one of my podcasts that I'll be releasing in the next few days. Hopefully, if I get it done, I'll do it tomorrow. Also, apologies for the stupid headset that I'm wearing. One of the main things is that I bought a singing, all dancing microphone. What do you call it? One of the Blue Yetis. Beautiful microphone. Does the business. And it doesn't work properly. So I'm a little bit pissed off with that. So that's why I've got this stupid headset. This is what I use on Xbox Live to play my games with. So it does the job. Hopefully you guys can hear me okay. So fingers crossed it does the job. So guys, I've been getting into this. So what I've been doing and over the past week is been getting your questions over to do like a Q&A session of anything involving such like career advice, obviously branding advice, recruitment stuff, all that sort of good things, what to do and what not to do, all that sort of stuff. So I've been asking you guys to send your questions, and I've got quite a lot, actually, to be fair. I'm quite surprised. I don't know why, but I got some ones coming through. But I'll bash out them. If you've got any other questions, people that are joining in and all that sort of stuff, how you doing, Sean? Oh, Shawnee Jones, I've not seen you for a while, buddy. Good to see you. So if you've got any questions in the meantime, chuck them down. I'll answer them live and all that sort of stuff. But you'll probably get a proper, no bullshit answer. Also have to say, if you've got any kids in the room, you're listening to this, I do swear a lot. I do apologise. I'm Scottish. What can you do? So yeah, so let's crack on with this, guys. Let's crack on. So I'll go through the first question that I've got through, and it's from Charlie. Charlie's asked, how can someone get experience in a field that's competitive? Well, I don't understand that. How can you get experience in a field that's competitive? Well, if it's to get experience, it's catch-22, to be fair. You know, how do you get experience if you can't get a job? You know, it's the circle. You literally just have to get into it, to be quite honest. You know, it's to be in a competitive industry, depends on what industry you're going into. It could be different and different industries sort of thing. My advice is to do research and find out what is going on and what's happening and do the bits and pieces for it. So you could be like a recruitment. Recruitment's not a competitive industry to get into. It's a competitive industry on the outskirts. Like the actual whole thing is competitive with clients and stuff. But actually to get a job in recruitment, it's not actually that competitive. They'll give a job to anyone nowadays. Hence the reason why I'm doing it. But the reason that the main thing, if it's a competitive industry, say like IT industry is starting to get quite competitive as well, and especially specialized stuff that everyone's jumping on the bandwagon. You can see all the cybersecurity stuff is starting to get very competitive just because there's just a lack of them. So it might be a contradiction there, but my advice to that is literally go out there, do your research. Find out exactly what you want to do and how you're going to do things different. This is the thing. How are you going to get out there into people's faces different than anyone else? Everyone's seen the usual. Apply for jobs. Apply for this. CVs and you don't hear anything back. Do something different, you know. Get some different strategies, sort of thing. Like one of the ones I like to teach my candidates that I like to push through is if you've got actually a, say like a, an industry you went into, write down all the people you'd love to work with, companies-wise, all that sort of stuff. Write down 20 of them. Have a look, see what they're doing, then contact them. It's on my blog post as well. I'll link it all here. But contact them. But the thing is as well, don't phone up the HR people and speak to them and say, can I send my CV over to you? Because they're never going to actually do that. They're just going to go, oh, not another one. They get these calls all the time, all the time. So one thing you can do is speak to them and ask them, just on a genuine saying, how do you do your recruitment? How do you do that? And they might turn around and say, oh, it's an internal system. It's, or we use an external recruitment company sort of thing. And you're like, okay, fantastic. So if it's an internal, at least you've got the people's, you can ask for the people's contact details, if not, and go that way. But if it's an external sort of recruitment company, you say ABC Recruitment, good thing to do is you've had a good chat with the HR person, everything's going well, you've described what you're all about and what you're up to. They might actually go, okay, come and talk to us, but say, okay, go and speak to these guys instead. Now, if you're going to speak to these guys instead, go to them and go to the recruitment company, give them a phone, and then say, I've been recommended by one of your clients to say that you are one of the main people to speak to in recruitment, for their recruitment. Now, if they're going to be a decent recruiter, they've just been, alarm bells are going to start ringing because they've just had a referral come from their main client. So they're going to treat you like gold. So they're not going to ghost you. They're not going to mug you off. They're going to give you preferential treatment, basically, because what's stopping you going back and speaking to them and doing the business? So and giving them crap if they don't treat you right. So that's a good way. Do something different. Get yourself branding. Get yourself, it's a branding situation now as well. I am hugely, hugely on the branding side of things. Hence the reason why I'm doing stuff like this. It's the CVs and the old word of mouth sort of situations now really starting to kind of go in the background. It's all about branding and putting yourself out there and actually getting a little bit of traction on there. Now, how do you do that? Do get yourself on Instagram, get yourself on the social media networks like Facebook, join some groups, go and do some networking, go out and to do some LinkedIn, but actually put some actual value into doing that, as in putting yourself out there. Do not be scared to put yourself out there, because when you go and get in touch with these people, and if you've done it well, you get in touch with them, they go, oh, I seen your video on YouTube the other day there, or I seen your video on Instagram, or I'm following you on Facebook, and they'll be like, okay, brilliant, fantastic. You've already got a foot in the door already, so your reputation's already skyrocketed. So there's another way to get in above the competition and get your foot in the door sort of thing. So, Charlie, hopefully that answers your question in a little bit of detail. Guys, if you do actually want any more information, please don't hesitate to give me an email or a tinkle or whatever. And I'm more happy to go into it and do the business and answer you face-to-face or meet up with you or phone, whatever it is. We'll do that sort of stuff. So next, what we've got. So we've got the next question. We'll go to the next one. Here we go. This is a good one. This is from Sonia from Clacton. Oh, she's on Instagram. Why do I keep getting ghosted by recruiters? That is a mental one, that, isn't it? I tell you what, I'm not going to beat around the bush here, right, guys? If any recruitment companies are watching this, they're going to hate me because I'm going to divulge some information to you guys, right? The reason why you keep getting ghosted is quite literally, it's one of a few things involved in that. It's one thing is they've spoke to you, you've put your CV through, and you've not fit the bill. And they're too scared and they've not got the bottle to come back and tell you that. Nobody likes to give bad news, unfortunately. That's just, people are too nice. That's just the way it is. People like to give good news. And another part of it, why should they? It's that you're not going to make them any money. That's the thing. So they're not going to put the time and effort into calling you, which is shit. It's a really bad thing to do. All recruiters, any recruiter that ghosts you, they never use again because they're rubbish. When in my younger days, I have been guilty of doing that. Don't get me wrong, I have. Obviously running my own business, my own reputation's at stake, so I make sure I get involved with everyone. So that's one of the main reasons I like to do that. But another one as well, they're just not very good at what they do. Simple as that. They don't like being uncomfortable. The ghost recruiters, they give you the Johnny Big Bollocks, they give you all this, that, and the other, and then you hear nothing. But another thing as well, you have to remember, all these big recruitment companies that you get, they've got these things called KPIs, and all these KPIs that they go, they have to say they have to do a certain amount of calls a day, they have to do a certain amount of candidate calls a day. And you'll, if anyone works in recruitment, you'll probably realise that is the case. It's a pain in the ass. I don't do KPIs anymore. I think it's good in some aspects, but it's bad, especially when you're relying on them. So it's crap. So when you get a phone call from someone, they're just basically looking for your CV. That's it. They're looking for your CV to put on the database. There might not even be a job. There might not even be a job. They might just want your CV there in case something comes up that they can fill straight away. Now, you might be lucky and get a phone call the next 2 weeks later. Or you might be unlucky and never hear from them again because they've got nothing that fits you. So that's one of the things that, let's just say, the poor recruitment companies do. I'm not saying that every recruitment company out there does that, because I've met some really good companies out there that do a lot of good stuff, and they're very, very good. They'll help you out. I'll mention names. I'll probably say good stuff that Agentis Construction in Ipswich do. I used to work with the guys there. They're doing some great things at the minute, so big up to them. If you're ever in construction, run about East Anglia or Southern Region, give them a shout. They're very good at what they do. So Ian, Danielle, Gigi, and obviously Jack and Jerry, well done, guys. Doing great stuff, I hear. And, oh, congratulations to Jerry, who's just done his 10K, his first ever 10K. Now, that might not be a big thing, but when you meet Jerry, you'll be like, yeah, that's a big thing for him. Hope you don't mind that, Jer. But, yeah, so that's one of the main reasons you're getting ghosted by recruiters. They're not very good. They do a little bit of crap processes, and they're basically living the dark ages by building their databases up and not treating you respect. That's one of the main things I don't like. Oh, shit, sorry. So next one we've got is, oh, it's from, that's from San from Rec Social, who's on Instagram. Hi, San, you're right. Wave. And she is coming on the podcast. Hopefully we're going to talk about that tomorrow. She'll be on the podcast next. I'm going to have a quick interview, which we're going to run through tomorrow, which looking forward to that. But anyway, Sans asked, do you feel traditional recruiting methods have had to change since the use of social media has become increasingly popular? Definitely. Oh my God, I think every company has had to change since social media has come popular, to be quite honest with you. It's now becoming so prominent now. If you're not got a social footprint or anything like that, you're going to be left behind. Now, that could be in anything. It could be in Instagram, it could be in Facebook, Twitter, even especially LinkedIn. I'm a huge advocate of Instagram and LinkedIn at the moment. I'm going heavy on them because I think that's where the attention is. It's where everyone's really kind of culminating through, because you've got the Instagram for like personal branding, but you've got the LinkedIn side of things to boost your platform and your credibility within the industry. I mostly use LinkedIn for client driven, to get more clients in and boost your actual market share in there. And then I use Instagram for mostly the kind of candidate side of things and getting involved and attracting different people from all around the world, which is actually a really big platform. And people don't understand that the amount of people who are actually on these platforms now is shocking. Especially Instagram. Instagram's blew up. Instagram is massive at the minute. If you're not on Instagram and you're in some sort of business, any business at all, get yourself on it, because you're going to be left behind in the future. It's simple as that. It's what's going to happen. Facebook, yeah, Facebook's great. Good thing about Facebook is the ads and on Facebook, and a little bit with Instagram as well. Their ad platform, if you want to advertise on Facebook, is so cheap right now. And it's very, very good, because it's worth the money. It's similar to what Google did. Google AdWords, where when they first came out, the return on investment on these sort of ads are fantastic. So if you've got a business, if you've got like a page or anything like that, you can advertise on Instagram and Facebook for very little price now. You're not spending like hundreds of thousands of pounds on it. You could literally spend, I would say, £100 a week, which is crazy money when you think about it. It's so cheap that you can actually promote yourself on that sort of platform and get in front of thousands and thousands, even millions, if you've got the capital behind you. So, yeah, so answer your question. Definitely, they're saying, if social media is blowing up right now, it's getting incredibly, incredibly popular. And if you've not got any sort of social footprint on there, your company's going to go down the toilet very quickly. So, yeah, that's all about the social stuff. Next question we've got is from Adam_T27 on Twitter. I'm 29 with a newborn baby. I hate my job, but I can't afford to change careers. What options do I have or what shall I do? Well, congratulations, Adam, on newborn baby. That's fantastic. That's a hard one, to be quite honest with you, because I've been, the thing is when I started doing this, build my company, I had a newborn. She was only 6 months old. Actually, not even that. I'd probably say four months. So it was quite hard, and it is incredibly difficult if you haven't got any savings behind you. Obviously, with my partner, well, my ex-partner now, she obviously was working at the time, but it's really thinking out of the box sort of thing. Do you stick at it for 6 months or whatever? Or do you literally just take the plunge and go for it? That's what you really need to talk to. You need to talk to your partner about that as well to find out what the best options are. Or if it's something you can actually do in the background, if you want to change careers, you could literally go to work 9 to 5, get the baby to bed. They'd probably go to bed about 6:30, 7 o'clock, depending. And then you could literally do like a side hustle, they call it, and do stuff like that on the side and do a lot of research in the background when you're off work and kind of do it that way. Depending on what you want to do sort of thing, if you want to go into like your own business or like an internet business, even easier, you can do that from the hours of 9 till 12 at night time. You know what I mean? 3 hours, 4 hours till 1 o'clock, you can do that. And then at least you get a good night's sleep, hopefully. Well, you might not with the newborn baby, but it all depends on what you want to do. You prioritize, obviously, your family first. Prioritize them first, but don't take the plunge unless you're really sure. You might not be really sure. You might kind of go, well, I'm not too sure about that, but go for it. Nothing wrong with changing careers. Nothing wrong with that at all. So here we go. Next one. What software do you use for your podcasting? And that's from, I hate pronouncing this word, Carl. With a Scottish accent, I cannot pronounce that. It's K-A-R-L, right? With a Scottish accent, I've been down here for near enough 20 years, right? When I first came down, I had to pronounce Carol as Carol, because that's how you pronounce it, it's Carol. And I was like, no, my name's not Carol, it's Carl. So when I say that name, it sounds like I'm like a mental case. So I used to call my mate, who was called Carl, I used to call him Dave. And that was 20 years ago, and his name's Carl. And he still gets called Dave today, and that's a true story. I only found that out last year from my mate. He's like, he's still called Dave. Absolutely fantastic. So what software do you use for podcasting? Software I use something called Camtasia. Great recruiting software. I'm using it right now. It records everything. So literally what I'm doing now is using Camtasia to record this. I've got Facebook Live on the go, and I've got bloody Instagram on the go as well. So there you go. Get yourself a decent mic. Also, that Camtasia is quite expensive. It's £80. So that's quite expensive. But you can use something called... Audacity, if you want a really good platform. It's free. You can give donations to the site. It's free, but it's quite basic, but it does the job. It's not user friendly, if that makes sense, because it's a free thing. They've not got all the bells and whistles like the kind of cosmetic stuff that all these other platforms have got. But it's very, very good. It does exactly the same things as your £1,000 worth stuff, but it's just hard to use. So if you can do a little bit of research, use Audacity to start with. Get yourself a good hosting platform. I used to use Libsyn. Not bad, £15 a month. But then I discovered something called Anchor. Anchor's a great platform to use. I use that on my podcasting now because it's free. It distributes to every single platform out there. See, obviously, on your Facebook, your LinkedIn, Instagram as well. Goes to Spotify, goes to Apple Podcasts, goes to, Christ, where else? It goes to everything. Google Podcasts, and just started to go there. So that's not too bad. So go there. So that's what I use. And it's incredibly good as well, Anchor, because you can use it on your phone. You can literally pick up your phone and record it straight away, and it uploads it for you. Just put a description in, it does the job. Fantastic. Does the job. So Anchor's a good platform to use. So try that out. See what it's like. So what we got next? Ah, here we go. So Jeff on Facebook's asking, I'm leaving the RAF in 7 months. What do I need to do to prepare? Well, I've done that before. Well done for leaving the RAF, mate. Fantastic. had a good time there, I have to be fair, I can't lie. It was some cracking, I was during my 20s, it was a nightmare. But leaving the RAF, yeah, I've done that. Don't do what I did. What I did was literally not prepared at all. Got my resettlement and then just pissed it up against the wall and got myself a flat with it, the deposit, and I didn't do anything. Didn't prepare for it, didn't do anything. So you've got 7 months, so you've literally got about, I would say, 4 after you leave, and then obviously your resettlement time. So yeah, unless that's 7 months plus resettlement. If it's 7 months plus resettlement, fantastic, you've got loads of time. Excuse me. Best thing to do is what you want to do. What do you want to do with after leaving? That's the main thing, is do you want to carry on in your trade? What trade have you got? Is there something out there that you can use that trade to do? I don't know. If you're into like the technical side of stuff, or you're into what I did, logistics is a massive marketplace out there. You can use obviously your skill set that you've made and take it out in the service street. Obviously, you've got transferable skills there. Everyone who says that the forces don't have transferable skills are full of shit, because you do. They're just called something different. And you just have to get used to the lingo instead. So once you get used to the lingo and develop all that, do some research, find out who you want to work for, then just apply like mad. Get as much help as you can. Do not be scared to ask for help, especially if you're struggling. There's organisations out there, there's charities out there that will help you. The British Legion are very good. I recommend them massively. You've got other local ones. I mean, we're living in Colchester, which is next to the barracks, and they have one, like a seminar every two weeks, which they have local recruitment companies and local companies coming down and having a chat with the servicemen who are looking to leave. Do all that, but make sure you get something sorted before you leave. Don't leave and do what I did and be fucked, and don't do it properly. So make sure you do your research. Look out there, take in as much information as possible, and do the business, and then you'll be loving it. But it's a big transition, don't get me wrong. It's a huge transition to from service street to military life, because it's the thing is that I've got the biggest gripe that I've got. It's not great. It's one of the things that when you're in the military, they big you up. They big you up. This is my opinion. If someone's got different, fair enough. But they big you up massively. Which is good, because that's what they should do, because obviously we've got the best military in the world. Happy days. Well done. Thank you. But that's the best way to do it. But when you leave the military and then you go into Civvy Street, you're not the best at what you do anymore. It's like bringing yourself back from back to reality. There's no cotton wool to look after you. Nobody's going to look after you. You're going to do it yourself. And now that's the biggest adjustment that... Yeah, I've had people come up to me when I left and I came back into it, and they were like, oh yeah, I'm going to get a 40 grand a year job, and I'm only like in the RAF, it was an SAC, which is like a Lance Corporal sort of thing. I'm going to get a 40 grand a year job and I leave here. And I just looked at it and went, no, you're fucking not, because you're deluded. You're going to have to start from scratch again. So when you leave the RAF and the forces, any sort of military, do not be scared to start from the bottom again, because 9 times or 8 times out of 10, you might have to. If you've done, obviously, all your research, you've prepared yourself, you might not need to start from the bottom again. You might actually start in a quite good position, which a lot of people have done, so it's not impossible to do, even if you're the lower ranks. Even if you're the lower ranks, you can still transfer into Civvy Street and actually do good job, well-paying job, and do the business sort of thing. So, so hopefully that answers that one. So... Here we go. Let's see who's next. You've done that one, Charlie. Social Twitter, saw on your Instagram. I think that's all the questions we've got, so that's not too bad. So, yeah, so quite good so far. I'm quite happy, obviously, the turnout. I've got quite a lot of people on Facebook at the minute. Hi, guys. Oh, and Instagram as well. Oh, yeah. So I've got Instagram here, and I've got Facebook there. Fantastic. So, I mean, going forward, to be fair, I'm going to go through a little bit of bits and pieces of what guys actually ask me all the time. They go through and say they're unhappy about what they do. They're unhappy about how their life is leading, and they just don't do nothing about it. And I've got one on my IGTV, Instagram TV, and if you're not on that, get on it. It's very good. And I put out a story, and there was a guy who approached me, and he went, he was unhappy with his job, he was unhappy with his life, and he just didn't know what to do. And I gave him some pointers, and I gave him all that sort of stuff. And I didn't see the guy for like 6 months. And the next thing I know, I bumped into him in the street. And I was like, hello, mate, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Nice to see you again. And I asked him, how's things going? Did you do what I asked you to do? Did you do the business? And he was like, no, I'm still there. I didn't do any of it. So I'm just like, why? Why would you do something like that? If you're unhappy with your life and you're unhappy on your job, you're unhappy in what you're doing, why would you keep at it? Why would you keep doing that? A lot of people nowadays are just going through the motions and then just doing crap jobs that they're unhappy with, making themselves miserable and also making their family miserable because you're bringing yourself, your work home with you. So you're making everyone's life miserable. Why would you go through that? Do something about it. Don't be scared to take the plunge and actually do something about your life, you know? It's not hard. It's easy, but it is hard, if that makes sense. It's easy to do, but it's hard to keep at it. If you have that sort of mentality and mindset, it's easy to get up and do the business. It's just hard to get there first. That's the main thing. It's hard to get that first step. Once you make the first step and get rid of the fear, it's better for the long run because you'll be like, wow, why was I so scared of doing this? Why was I so scared of making the plunge and taking that leap? It doesn't seem as big a deal anymore, you know? And it's one thing to be miserable and it's another thing to be happy. So you want to be happy in what you do, you know? It's what was it they say, the old school African proverb? Hit you some knowledge right now. African proverb says, if you can defeat the enemy within, the enemy outside can do you no harm. You know, so if you, it's all about yourself. Look into yourself and do things that you want to do. Don't listen to external sources and don't be scared to go and do it. You'll have everyone telling you not to. You'll have everyone telling you you're just being an idiot. Stay in what you're doing. It's nice and comfortable. It's being realistic. You want to be real. Thing is, though, being realistic is the fastest route to mediocrity. You want to be mediocre in your life. You want to live your life and live it to the max. Don't sit there and dwell on stuff and wish I did this and wish I did that. I mean, I've always thought to myself, I don't want to be sitting there 80 years old in a rocking chair with my glasses on, rocking back and forth, thinking what if. You want to have as least amount of what ifs in your life as you can. Now, if you have that, you've lived a good life, and I commend you for it. And even if you don't make it, even if you don't fail, if you fail and you fail and you fail, everyone fails in life. Do not worry about failing because that's just part of life. I've failed. I've failed in my job here and building this. I failed massively. It wasn't great. I picked myself up and I got back on the horse and I did it. And I kept doing it. I've actually failed 3 times so far building this business. And it's just, you just have to get on with it. It's just part of life. If you're scared of failure, you're never going to do anything. Failure is part of the big business and the part of life. Deal with it. Get on with it. Do the business, guys. I know you can do it, so don't feel bad about it. So, guys, there we go. We've been going for about half an hour now. I don't want to keep these guys longer than half hour because you'll just switch off and get bored. So thank you so much for jumping on, guys. I see a lot of guys on Facebook and a few guys on Instagram Live as well. This will be part of the podcast. I will be recording this and distributing it all the way part of my social feed. So I'll link the podcast feed below in the description. It's great. I've got about 6 on there so far. As I said to you before, I've got a few more people coming on the podcast to talk about different fields, all about supply chain, logistics, recruitment, obviously branding. The next one I've got with obviously Rec Social. Really excited for that because that's going to be really good. If you don't know, obviously the Rec Social San there, she's doing some really good stuff on Instagram. If you get a chance, go and follow her at rec_social. Have a look at that. And if you're not on my Instagram, that's Instagram, so this is Facebook. If you're not on my Instagram now, my Instagram handle is at walker_rec. Have a look. I post every day, I post videos every day, and do the business, really, to be fair. So, guys, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. Love your feedback, love your comments. If you can share this, subscribe to it, do the business, make me come famous, put the word out. We're going to try and do stuff different and get my name out there and make sure, hopefully I'm giving you as much value as I can. And if I'm not doing that, tell me and I'll change it up. So I appreciate your time. Enjoy your hump day, enjoy your Wednesday. It's nearly the weekend. The weather's shit, but what can you do? It's just part of life. So, guys, take care. Always a pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Going In Raw podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review and subscribe. And for more great content and to stay up to date, visit walker-recruitment.co.uk, on Facebook at Walker Recruitment, and Twitter at Walker_REC. We'll catch you next time.